Welcome to the Postpartum is Forever podcast. My name is Keturah Stoltenberg. I am a mother of two young men and a postpartum doula. This podcast is dedicated to all mothers and is a place to hear honest, relatable conversations with the intention of helping mothers feel seen, heard, supported, and valued. I believe that postpartum is forever and that sharing our stories is a powerful way that we facilitate connection with ourselves, our children, and our community. Thank you for being here. Today I chat with a mother of one named Majana. Majana talks about the ambivalence of motherhood, how she stepped into the role of mother despite not previously feeling like a inverted commas maternal person. She shares how having a straightforward pregnancy does not always lead to a straightforward birth, and the feelings of isolation after the honeymoon period is over, when the hormonal shifts and sleep deprivation really kick in and your partner has returned to work. We touch on the common and normal experience of intrusive thoughts and mostly how important it is to have some support measures in place for when your baby arrives. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, Keturah. So nice to have you on the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you became a mother when?
So June 2023.
Yep. And how has that ride been?
It's been a bit of everything. It's been very rewarding, very challenging. I feel like kind of the perfect word to sum up motherhood is it's very ambivalent, isn't it? It's just, yeah, bits of everything, difficult to, I guess, yeah, it's just a big ride. It's a big journey. It's a big journey.
It's difficult to really put into like simple terms, isn't it? It's,
yes.
It's so, there's so much to it. And
yes.
Every day is different.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Was becoming a mother something you've always wanted?
To be honest, I never really grew up thinking a lot about it. I know that there are women who this is their lifelong dream and they feel very maternal and they, you know, they dream about the wedding and then the children. And for me, I never really gave it that much thought. It was kind of always one of those things that was, oh, this is just kind of progression, like, you know, you progress through life, there are certain stages, mm-hmm. and it was always just, oh, it's something that will happen at some point, as opposed to, I can't wait to be a mom and feeling very maternal.
Right.
And there was a point where I kind of thought maybe I would focus on my career for longer, but I've actually surprised myself with how much I do love it and how much I have kind of really stepped into it. I didn't think, I've always loved kids, but I didn't think I would be the way that I am.
No.
If that
it's
makes
nice,
sense.
It's been a nice surprise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So had you planned to have a baby or it came unexpectedly or yeah?
Yeah. So yeah. We had been talking about it for a little bit, but it wasn't, I'm not an organized type of a person. I was just more, I just went into it relaxed. If it happens, it happens. We'll see how we go. I wasn't tracking anything. So it was just more putting it out into the universe. This is what we feel we're ready for. And let's just see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how was your pregnancy?
It was really good. Really, really good pregnancy. I just took the time to do the things that I really loved. I was fortunate enough to be in that position, to be able to do that. I focused on my health, on being outdoors, staying active as I could, and I didn't have any major kind of difficulties in terms of the morning sickness or anything like that. I felt that overall, it was quite a smooth easy pregnancy and just a really, it was just a really nice time. I actually really loved that period.
Oh, that's great. Mm. Yeah, it's something you always treasure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving into when you birthed, was that a straightforward experience as well?
I thought it...
Had you planned your birth much?
Well, I had planned how I wanted it to go, but also knowing that it might not go that way because this is just life, that's just the reality of it. These things don't always go to plan. It's not always entirely up to us. There's the baby, they do their own thing, which in my case is what happened. But yeah, so I was quite open to, you know, anything happening, but I did sort of think, oh, you know, my pregnancy has been really positive. It's been great. So I should be okay. And it happened the way that it was supposed to happen. I believe that, but yeah, it definitely wasn't a straightforward couple of hours type of a birth. But it was, yeah, how it was meant to be and with all its challenges and
planned a home birth, but you know, sometimes things do happen. So what was the situation? Did you have to be transferred to hospital?
Yes. So yeah, so on day four of me labouring, we ended up having to get a hospital transfer because yeah, he went posterior and then he went transverse. And so when he went transverse, that's when everything just kind of yeah, became difficult. And so I was trying to push and push for several hours. And yeah, he just, because he was stuck, and then the heart rate was going up, going down, yo-yoing all over the place. So that's when my midwife, she said, look, you know, I'm going to make the call. We'll have to go and get some intervention.
Yes.
Yeah. And fortunately it wasn't too much, because at the hospital they were considering a C-section, but because he had started to crown a little bit, we didn't have to go down that path.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, great. It was...
That was a better outcome than it could have been.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I guess you must have just been so exhausted. And how were you feeling when you were being transferred? Were you just kind of, I'm over this?
Yes, I really was.
Yeah.
So, I had been very determined to have him at home. I kept saying, no, I don't want to transfer. I want to have him at home because this is, yeah, it's just something that I thought, you know, I want to kind of take every step that I can for to have him at home. And but then, yeah, in the end, it just wasn't meant to be. And yes, by that point, I was just, yeah, I was so exhausted. I was, I don't even know what planet I was on, honestly. I just traveled somewhere else. And yeah, it was, my exhaustion was also from pushing for so long.
Of course, yeah.
You know, everything, my mind, my body, everything was just, yeah, really
delirious.
Done. Yes,
yeah.
Delirious, that's the right word.
Yeah. So just also thinking of your partner, your guy, how is he feeling in all of this? Do you recall? Or it's nice to kind of give them a little bit of credit that they've been through this too. Yeah.
Yes. So he was so good throughout the whole process. He was amazing and emotional at times. So there was only really one point where I remember him kind of breaking down a little bit. And that was when it was really kind of, you know, escalating to that point of, yeah, just getting really intense when he went posterior and I was in a lot more pain. And that's when he was, but he was still very composed and he was, I felt very secure with him being there. I felt like, you know, he was always holding me and he was just amazing. I can't fault anything that he did. And for him, he has such a positive outlook. He's like, that was such a great experience, even though it didn't go the way that we planned for it to go. It went the way that it was supposed to, and we learned so much throughout that process.
Yeah. It's really huge, isn't it? You don't often just stop and pause and think of what an experience it is to actually birth a baby. It's very exhilarating. Yes. It's that word you use, ambivalent, I think, describes birth. There's so many emotions and they're all existing simultaneously.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So did you spend very long in hospital after the baby was born?
No, so I was there one night.
Okay.
One night, and I had the option of staying there an extra night, but we just wanted to get home.
Mm.
I just felt like I wanted us all to just be together.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, this has been a lot, and I just want to go home and start this new life.
Yeah.
You know, because it really felt like quite a long process from when I started laboring to when I gave birth. So, yeah, we ended up leaving the next morning.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you feel in those first few days? Do you recall? It was a bit of a blur.
It was the first few days, actually, because of all of the drugs that were in my system from the hospital, I felt like there was a lot of adrenaline and I was on some sort of a high.
Yeah.
And so I felt quite good.
Yeah.
And maybe there was a lot of relief too from the fact that it's done.
Yes.
That side of things is done. And I remember my midwife being like, oh, you know, yeah, like you seem great, you're in good spirits. And I remember she kind of pointed to like, but just be mindful, things might, you know, change. Mm. Like when reality sinks in, when the drugs are out of the system, you know, you might start to feel different. And then, yeah, maybe after 3-4 days, that's when it was like, okay, you know, this is real. And so, yeah.
Do you recall having that shift in feeling, you know, really high to, okay, I'm starting to come down now?
Yes,
yeah.
For sure, for sure. And that really hit me when my husband went back to work.
Mm.
That's when because when he was home for that first week, he was home, and that was really nice, obviously, because he was there, he was helping, he was doing everything.
Yeah.
So I was just able to focus on the baby and have that, you know, the bonding, and he was also bonding with the baby too, which was really nice.
Mm.
And then the second week he was in and out. So he'd come and we'd have lunch together and then he'd go back. Because he's got his own business, he was just trying to make it work the best way that he could. But that's when it started to kick in of like, you know, when I'd be by myself. And then of course I had family visiting and I had you coming once a week for that first 6 weeks, which really, really helped. But when you are on your own, it's those moments. You don't have to be on your own for long.
No.
But the moments that you are, that's when everything just really hits you.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, there were a lot of emotions and the hormones. The hormones were huge. But what I felt that I had to do was reach out. I was speaking to my sister a lot. And I would say to her, this is how I'm feeling. And she would always reassure me. And that was really important.
Yeah.
Instead of bottling it up and dealing with it on my own, because I think if you do, it's going to manifest at some point. And so that really, really helped me to deal with all of those massive emotions that just hit me all at once.
Yes.
I trust you are enjoying this episode. I know that if you are listening to this podcast, you are likely a woman who deeply cares about her mothering practices. I invite you to sign up to my email list found on my website, motherhoodwithkatura.com.au, for semi-regular emails that include blogs, recipes, and information relating to a variety of motherhood topics. If you are pregnant or know someone who is, head over to my website and sign up to receive your free copy of the postpartum checklist and important contacts list. And so that we can get these conversations out to more mothers, I'd be grateful if you could like, share, and review this podcast. It really does make a difference. Back to the episode.
Yeah,
it's a common thing. I mean, when we birth a baby, we also have to birth our placenta. And the placenta is the home of all of those hormones that have kind of kept us fairly bolstered, fairly even keeled, so to speak. And when we lose the placenta, we lose all of those hormones. It's the biggest crash that we will ever have in our experience as a woman, even more than adolescence. And so And then, as you said, it sinks in. It sinks mm-hmm. in that, okay, sort of like the romance of it all has sort of left you, and now you're yeah. dealing with the reality that it's you home with a baby. For some women, it's just trying to build up their milk supply or trying to actually have enough milk for the baby, and it all becomes a bit stressful.
Yes, yeah. That's yeah. right. Everything kind of hits you
yeah.
at once.
That's it.
It doesn't happen incrementally. It's just your entire life has completely crashed. Changed and crashed. Exactly. That's right.
Your life as you knew it before having a baby is... no longer resembles that at all.
Yeah, and you can't yeah. you can't know this until you experience it.
Yeah.
And you do have those conflicting emotions of, oh, but I should be over the moon. I have a baby and my baby's healthy. He's alive, which you do. You have that gratitude. But then you can't help the emotions that you're also experiencing and what the hormones are doing to the body. That's just, it's all happening
yeah
simultaneously. Yeah,
that's it. And even the brain changes that you're experiencing, they're very real.
Yeah.
And they're gearing us up for this new part of our life so that we can look after another human, but at the same time they can be making us quite hyper vigilant in some ways, very emotional, very sensory, and very kind of sensitive as well. So, definitely. And then we chuck in the lack of sleep, and it's sort of a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
It? Yeah. So that's like great that you had the family support, and I think you've got a good network of friends and things like that. What would you say to a mum who doesn't have that, that really hasn't got a lot of support around her and just doesn't know who to reach out to?
I would say definitely make those connections as much as possible. So getting help is a massive part of it, the biggest. So getting a doula, I think getting a postpartum doula as well, somebody who can work with you for a while after you give birth, because yes, during the pregnancy it's great, however obviously when baby comes, that's when everything sinks in. And so having somebody who you can talk to about what's happening and who might be able to actually help you in ways that are practical, you know, bringing food or, you know, office services beyond just having those conversations as well, just to help out where you can't fill in those gaps with family or friends. For me, my midwife was amazing because it wasn't just checking, you know, having your meetings before giving birth, it was also having those conversations postpartum and weekly check-ins and really just checking in with me to see how I'm doing emotionally and making recommendations, you know. And so, yeah, she was really, really great for that. And I guess that was a really, you know, good part of deciding to do a home birth. But you can also get private midwives if you don't want a home birth. It's not, they're not, you know, exclusive, I guess. So even something like that, having more of that care throughout the process. Because as well, your pregnancy and the care that you receive in your pregnancy can really impact how you cope after you give birth too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just having that, I guess... like wraparound support system. So yeah, good doula who you connect with. The midwife for me was great. Mothers groups, you might find some lifelong friends in these mothers groups, and often the mums will share what's going on and might, you know, answer some really important questions as well, which I found. I think community centers have them. I'm sure you can find groups on Facebook, on social media, Instagram. There's some foundations and places where you can get help, obviously, if you know you're having the postpartum blues or depression, you can go to services to get counseling. So I think, yeah, just kind of making use of these services that are out there if you're not able to get that sort of support from your community is really important.
Yeah.
It actually is, because you do need the support after you give birth.
Yes. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And I think just kind of noting the worthiness of starting these plans while you're pregnant, making a list, getting all the contacts down in writing and putting it somewhere where it's very accessible for you, so that, you know, if or should you need to bring these people in, you already have something lined up, because once you're in that kind of haze of the baby blues, or it's all starting to accumulate and spiral, it's very difficult to think clearly, isn't it?
And that's exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So putting those supports in place beforehand, is ideal, because you're right. You don't know what sort of a headspace you're going to be in after you have the baby.
That's it. Yeah. I've known, even, as you know, I'm a postpartum doula, and often what happens is that a woman will ask, could they have a massage with me whilst they're pregnant? Or could they order my food in advance while they're pregnant, so that they can just get a taste for my services? And I think that's important. If you do have your eye on somebody that you feel fits your needs, is just getting to know them a little bit before you have the baby. Mm-hmm. Build some rapport, so it feels like it's not a stranger walking into your home. It is a very sacred place. When someone's had a baby, they really don't want to be just waltzing in without really knowing anything about you or your situation. So providing some sort of continuity to your experience.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so how have you experienced motherhood? What have been some of the highs? What have been some of the lows, so to speak? What would you say? What have you enjoyed most, and what have you found more challenging?
So the most is just the time with him, and just having a little friend, you know, bonding with him, watching him grow, watching him just recognize the world around him and us, seeing him smile, being happy, seeing him thrive.
Yeah.
These are the things that, thankfully, I have a healthy baby, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just love being with him and the things that he's also brought out in me. I think they do bring out a lot that we might not have ever even known was there. So the changes that I've gone through in terms of my views on things, and just me as a person. These are the things, and just building relationships with other mums as well. It's just a whole new world. It's just, there's so much to enjoy. And then challenges. I guess one of the biggest challenges was just weird things, like having some intrusive thoughts, for example. Just wild things, that just pop into your head and you're like, where did this come from? And I guess it's some of that anxiety that you experience. That was quite a big one for me, but it's also very common. Yes. And I was reassured by my midwife. This is another thing that she was great for, that this is completely normal. It's okay. It's a survival mechanism. It's a protective mechanism to make sure that baby is safe.
Yes.
That you keep babies safe, because obviously they can't keep themselves safe. So that was something I remember saying to my husband, oh my gosh, what is going on? Why am I having these thoughts? And then it was clarified for me that this is just part of it. So without going into all the, exactly, and all the challenges, of which there are many, I guess that's one that kind of popped up for me. as what was quite a big one, and it still gets you sometimes, even months down the track.
Yes. I'm really glad you brought that up, actually, because I hear a lot of mothers speak of this. Probably there could be more mothers speaking of this. The ones that aren't speaking are because they're too afraid of, you know, being judged. But it's a common, it is so common. As humans, we have thousands of thoughts each day that we're not even aware of. And it's, I guess it just makes so much sense when we have a baby, because we're now, our brain is now geared for looking after another human being. It's not just about our safety and keeping ourselves alive. It's about the safety and keeping our baby alive. And so our brain really goes into a lot of kind of hypervigilant thoughts.
Yes.
To, like you said, survival, making sure we keep this baby alive.
Yeah.
And it goes into overgear. And our thoughts are just that. They're just thoughts. They're not who we are. They're not what we're going to do. Of course, if we feel like they're getting a little bit out of hand and we start to feel like we might act on one of those thoughts, seeking help is really important in that case. But for the majority of us, it is just thoughts.
Yes.
They come, they go, and it's normal, and normalizing it is a big part of helping women feel like there's nothing wrong with them. They're not going crazy. They're not a bad mum. And being more open about it will help normalize some of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And this is why I speak about it, because I do want mums to know that it's common and it's okay. It's actually a natural response.
Yeah.
It's not you being crazy, or it's just, this is, you know, it's evolutionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might relate to what is so common is checking the baby very frequently to see if they're breathing.
Yes.
And I mean, that's the start of this over anxious vigilance of making sure our baby's alive.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is, it's such a, yeah, a natural, you know, progression of the way our brain needs to be geared to raise a child.
Well, historically, we did have to protect our children from actual predators, right? Coming in and harming the baby. So we haven't quite evolved out of that. And this, so as a result, this is where our mind goes.
Yeah.
Because we've still got that instinct.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that primitive part of our
brain. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, any other things that you recall as being a little bit more challenging than you had expected? What about the lack of sleep?
The lack of sleep, getting sick because you are sleep deprived. Because you're stressed, you might not be feeding yourself, you're probably not feeding yourself, nourishing yourself the way that you should be, especially when you're breastfeeding and they're taking so much from you, so much of that. Obviously adjusting to that new way of living, and just, yeah, trying to cope with that is a challenge. I think just, yeah, all the things that come with being a mum are really challenging. And like I said previously, I think it's so important to speak about them and to have your supports so that you don't feel alone. You know that other mums are going through this as well.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that it offered something helpful to your own mothering experience. If you are a pregnant woman or know someone who is, head over to my website to receive your free copy of the postpartum checklist and contact list. And if you'd like to be better prepared for your postpartum, both practically and mentally, purchase the Peaceful Postpartum ebook, a 52-page interactive guide on what you need to know and what matters most in postpartum. And so that we can get these conversations out to more mothers, I'd be grateful if you could like, share, and review this podcast, and we'll see you next time.